This is 89.1 KUAR. I'm Michael Heblin. We're breaking into programming so that we can bring you a live briefing from Governor Asa Hutchinson. We don't know much at this point, only that Hutchinson is to make an announcement regarding COVID-19 in Arkansas. This is not his regular weekly press briefing, so we will see what he has to say and decide whether or not to stay with this. But this comes as the state has seen record numbers over the last week or so, and there has been a lot of concern about whether or not the state is doing enough. Yesterday, the Department of Health reported 1,962 new cases in Arkansas, but we're listening to see if he comes to the podium soon. We're hearing background noise from inside the conference room at the state capitol. That's where the governor will make this announcement. Number of hospitalizations in the state has been increasing, and we've seen record cases there. And in particular, the governor has been urging people to be cautious so that we don't get where Arkansas can't handle the number of people who are hospitalized. Yesterday, the number of hospitalizations rose to 805. That was an increase of 4 ventilators at 116, which is unchanged. But there has been the fear of if hospitals run out of space, then there will be hard choices made about who gets care and how they get it. Back when this pandemic first began, at least we first started having cases here in Arkansas, there was talk about potentially using War Memorial Stadium as a field hospital if necessary. But active cases has been a key concern as of late, and yesterday Arkansas did set a record number for active cases, 10,896. Those are people who are still suffering from it and are contagious, could potentially spread the virus to other people. And that in particular has got to be concerning to the governor.
Hello, Eddie.
And the governor is now at the podium. Let's listen live.
Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining me. I'm joined, of course, by Dr. Jose Romero of the Department of Health, as well as Dr. Greg Bledsoe, our Surgeon General, is with us. And we have Dr. Jones is coming in also. I first want to express my deep sadness and the heartache of the entire people of Arkansas on the death of Helena, West Helena police officer Travis Wallace, who was fatally shot last night in the line of duty. And I am signing a proclamation today that will lower the state flag through the date of his memorial service. And I talked to the police chief today and expressed our heartache over this, and our prayers are with the officer's family, as well as with the entire community and with the police department, because when we lose one, and we've lost too many, it's a burden for all of them to care. Now let me go to the purpose of this news conference today, and that is I am announcing the creation of the governor's COVID-19 Winter Task Force. And this is the result of the fact that the winter months pose particular challenges for us. We have our hospitalization rates that are going up. We have our caseloads that are going up, not just in Arkansas, but nationally. And the critical link is our hospitals. And so one of the major focal points of this task force will be to look at our hospital capacity, what more can be done to manage that capacity, coordinate, and what relief the state can provide in terms of support for our hospitals and the staff. And let me emphasize the importance of this and the timeliness of it, because even though our daily report will not come out until later today, I did get a report from Dr. Romero that the last 24 hours we've had an additional 2,312 confirmed and probable COVID-19 cases in Arkansas. This is a record number. We have an additional 21 hospitalizations, and we're at a record number in hospitalizations of 826. This task force is created by an executive order that I've signed today and created this, and its responsibility will be to investigate, advise, and make recommendations to me. This is a governor's task force that, while the Department of Health will continue to be the lead agency for implementing our fight against the pandemic, it is important to have this task force that will give guidance on this important issue. The reason, as I've said again, is the number of hospitalizations, but also the strain on our staff. And they've been at this for 8 months. Many of the hospital staff, too large a number, has to be quarantined themselves because of exposure. And so that shortens their work time. It puts strain on others. The question is, you know, what additional help can we give that staff? Is there relief from the quarantine rules that make sense in the hospital environment? You know, what can we do to help in that? And that's one of the things this task force will look at. And the staff, of course, is not just because of quarantines, but also because of costs and the fact that we've got recruiters that are looking at our hospital staff and recruiting them to work elsewhere and giving a bonus for that. So it's a very competitive environment, and we want to see what we can look at further. I want to illustrate this challenge shortly, but I'm asking for the task force to immediately look into and investigate three particular areas, actually four particular areas. And the first one is, how can we better coordinate the COVID caseload statewide? Last night I was on a call with the Central Arkansas Hospital Administrators, and I've talked regularly to the different areas of the state, and there's a lot of coordination going within the regions. We're to the point we need to expand that coordination. I asked this task force to look at this. And this will illustrate it by some of the, we can show our graph here. The next one. Here's the hospitalizations. You see that just shows that it's a record number. The next one. And this breaks down the percent of hospital resources used by COVID-19 patients. And this is important because whenever the public hears that our hospital staff is strained, you know, our space is limited, they think that, well, our COVID patients take up 100% of our ICU beds or our ventilators, and that's certainly not the case. And you can see here, in terms of hospital resources by COVID patients in hospital beds itself, it's less than 10%. In ICU beds, it's 30% to down to 28%. Ventilators, you can see, you know, those are different days that's represented there. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is the distinction. But you can see the percent is increasing in terms of ICU beds and ventilators, but it's still a small capacity compared to the whole that we have. Now let's go to the next one. And this breaks it down not by public health regions, but by hospital zones. And so here is the Southwest metrics. And you can see the difference here. 60% of the ventilators in South Arkansas, Southwest, is being used by COVID patients. And so there's much greater stress there. 41% of the ICU beds, hospital beds, are over 10%. Next one, the metro region is a little bit, certainly different statistics here on the usage. The next one, Northwest Hospital Region, you can see different metrics again. as to the percent of their capacity that's being used for COVID patients. Of course, the rest of the beds are being used for elective surgeries, the routine health needs that all of our patients have. And you do not want those to be sacrificed, because that's going to put us all in poor health as we go on. And so hospitals are having to manage both the COVID caseload as well as the regular caseload, and we don't want either one to suffer. We've got to manage between those, and it takes a high level of coordination between all of the hospitals to accomplish that. The next one is probably the Northeast. You can see different statistics there. The next one, Southeast, and there the ventilators, 85% on Thursday in the Southeast were being occupied by COVID patients. So that's the highest. And so you can see the need for that higher level of coordination. We'll stop there. So I've asked them, how can we better coordinate the COVID caseload statewide? Secondly, how can the state assist in increasing staff resources? There's a burden on the staff. We want to look at ways that we can be helpful to increase their resources, and I want to see what recommendations they come up with. What additional steps make sense for increasing compliance with the mask mandate? Those that are working in the hospital environment obviously want that caseload to be reduced, the hospitalizations to be reduced, and it starts with individual disciplines. And then how can we reduce the number of high cases and reduce the burden on our hospitals? Let me go to, as I mentioned, that I will chair this group, but I need to have an able vice chair, and I've asked Dr. Greg Bledsoe, our Surgeon General, to be the vice chair of this task force. Of course, I will have Dr. Romero on the task force as well, but let me give you a sense of the task force members. Larry Shackelford, President and CEO of the Washington Regional Medical Center. Chris Barber, President and CEO of St. Bernard's Healthcare in the Northeast. Scott Street, Medical Center of South Arkansas in El Dorado. Dr. Cam Patterson, Chancellor of UAMS. Rachel Bunch, Executive Director of the Arkansas Healthcare Association. Bo Ryle, CEO of the Arkansas Hospital Association. Troy Wells, President and CEO of Baptist Health. Ryan Gehrig, President of Mercy Hospital in Fort Smith. And Major General Kendall Penn, Adjutant General, Arkansas National Guard. A.J. Geary, Director of the Arkansas Department of Emergency Management. And yes, both are on there to help us to look into the future for any surge capacity that is needed that's outside of the hospital facility. Dr. Romero, Dr. Geraldine Jones of the Arkansas Department of Health, Dr. Jennifer Dillahay, Dr. Naveen Patil, all of the Department of Health, Dr. Kier Vias, University of Arkansas Medical Sciences, Philip Gilmore, CEO of Ashley County Medical Center, Dr. Stephen Collier, CEO of RCARE, Ron Peterson, President and CEO of Baxter County Regional Medical Center, and then I will add additional members to that task force as needed, and as we may have recognized that we don't have everything covered, I will add as needed. The first meeting of this task force will be Monday at 8 a.m., and most of this will be by Zoom call. It will not be a public meeting. It will be a private consultation working session with me and with the Vice Chair, Dr. Bledsoe, and with Dr. Romero. So with that, that covers those items. I do want to add that we are devoting right now for the winter COVID advertising budget $1.6 million to the marketing strategy for the fall and winter. That is $1 million through the Department of Health, and that is an additional $600,000 that will be through Department of Parks, Heritage, and Tourism and AEDC, and we're getting $400,000 of CARES Act funding. And so we understand that's one of the things that has to be done in this environment, is continue and enhance the messaging to broad members of the public as to what they can do. The numbers get their attention, but we want to be clear as to how they can help us. Finally, I did want to mention that I have authorized 30 members of the National Guard to assist the Department of Health in case investigation. As you may recall, we've had a number of our National Guard personnel from time to time through this pandemic assisting in different areas. Whenever we had a decline in our caseload, but also the infrastructure of the Department of Health built up, we sent those National Guard services back to their units. We are now overloaded again in terms of our contact tracing and case investigation. We need that help because the nurse investigators have a lot on their plate, and we need those additional help from the National Guard. And so I've authorized that, and they'll be working on that deployment in the future. With that, let me turn it open for questions. And I'm sure during the questions that I'll ask Dr. Romero and Dr. Bledsoe to help answer these, and Dr. Jones if need be. With that, we'll turn it open for questions.
So by increasing resources, are you talking about money or pay?
Now, if you look back since the pandemic started, we did put, I think it was close to $70 million into bonuses for frontline hospital workers that are dealing with COVID patients. That money has expired. And so it's something that we will always look at whether there's additional state resources that can help us. And I will wait on the task force. I don't want to prejudge what they might recommend. We now have limited CARES Act resources, but we do have some. And so we don't have the same level of funding for that. We could look into state resources in addition if need be, but that's just something that always should be on the table as a consideration if we can help to sustain our staff and make sure that we have our patients covered with adequate staff. Yes.
We've had several days of record increase.
This is 89.1 KUAR. We're listening live to Governor Asa Hutchinson. And again, today saw a record number of Arkansans testing positive, either confirmed or probable tests for COVID-19. And at this point, taking questions from reporters. Let's go back to the governor.
From Dr. Fauci all the way through, wear your mask. Socially distance, watch the Thanksgiving gatherings, and there's really a greater sense that that is where the heart of the challenge is complying with the simple public health guidelines. And if we do that, we don't have to take any other steps there. If you see cases go up, I'm sure the task force will have discussions, and I've asked them to have that discussion as to, is there anything additional that is consistent with saving lives across the board, keeping our, not causing unnecessary unemployment, but that we can do? Obviously, we will consider those things. I want to invite Dr. Romero and Dr. If you want to add anything to that, either one.
This is Health Secretary Jose Romero.
Really, the important issue here is that the public can take care of this. This is public health. The first word in public health is public. We now know from the CDC that these masks not only protect others, but protect us. There's data to suggest that. We are not bringing this under control because persons are not adhering to the three W's. We need them to wash their hands, wear their masks, and watch their distances. If that we do that, we can bring it under control. This is not up to a single act to bring under control. It is the public's responsibility. It is personal responsibility and personal care for others. It is not too late to stop this, but everyone must realize the importance of this.
Dr. Romero, I have a question to follow up to that. From a public health standpoint, do you think we're going to get to the point
fining people for not wearing their masks?
I leave that decision to the governor. I think that we can put pressure on each other to maintain this mask mandate, to make sure that we adhere to it. It's difficult, I understand that, but we need to do it.
Dr. Bledsoe.
And Surgeon General Greg Bledsoe.
Well, thank you, Governor, and thank you, Dr. Romero. And I just want to say that I echo what Dr. Romero has said about masks. I base my opinion on masks not just because of what the CDC says, but as a clinical physician working in the hospital. I've been working in the hospital for 8 months taking care of COVID patients, and we've been wearing masks. And so far, that's been an effective thing. Whether you're dealing with patients in the emergency department or intubating patients, masks seem to help reduce the risk of transmission to healthcare providers who are dealing with these folks. And so my recommendation to wear a mask is based not just on what the federal government is saying, not just what the research is showing, but just working with COVID patients in high-risk situations and seeing the reduction in transmission to our hospital staff by wearing N95 and surgical masks appropriately. But I do want to say one other thing. A lot of people have reached out to me over the last few weeks because I myself have had a COVID diagnosis, my family, with 7 members of my family tested positive for COVID. And I think it's an interesting case study because when you look at the people in my family who were diagnosed with COVID, from my 9-year-old Emery, who's the youngest who got it, to my father, who's turned 77 this month, who was the oldest member of our family who had a COVID positive test, each member of our family had different symptoms and different responses to the virus. Most of us had fairly mild symptoms. My wife and I, my mother, had what I would say moderate symptoms, but my dad ended up in the hospital for 10 days receiving IV medicines and got very sick. Thankfully, he's been discharged, he's doing much better, and he's at home and goes back to work next week. But if you have a 1 in 7 rate in families of people ending up in the hospital, you can see where resources would be a problem. And so I just want to echo not only as a citizen of Arkansas, not only as the Surgeon General of the state, but as an individual who has walked through this now with his family, this is a virus that is very difficult to contain, but it's also difficult to predict what's going to happen when you get it. And in our family, one of our family members ended up in the hospital. Again, thankfully, he's doing well, but you can see that if that's multiplied multiple times around the state, then we have a resource problem. I really applaud the governor for his leadership on this. This task force is going to help coordinate resources. Hospitals around the state have been working overtime dealing with this issue for many months, but there are better ways that we can coordinate the system as a whole, and then also share information. There are different protocols at hospitals for when someone needs to not work and when someone is allowed to work, for instance. In some hospitals, if you have a healthcare provider who has a family member who's tested positive, they're not allowed to work anymore. And in other hospitals, they are allowed to work as long as they're wearing an N95 mask and they have themselves tested negative. So these are some of the things that we as a task force are going to be looking at, how to better use our resources, better spread those resources equitably around the state so that we can do the best we can for the people of Arkansas. But it starts primarily with prevention. There's no amount of resources that are available anywhere in the world if we don't slow the growth of this and if we don't take this seriously. So I would encourage the people of Arkansas, take this seriously, wear your mask, continue to abide by the recommendations of the state, get your flu shot, wash your hands. These things are very important, and I appreciate the governor and Dr. Romero and all they've been doing over these months to provide leadership.
Next question.
What effects are the number of hospitalizations having on hospitals now? Like, how are they dealing with that? And what is this going to look like if the number of patients keeps increasing?
Dr. Jones, I'll say a word. I'm going to let you tackle a little bit of that because she works regularly with the hospitals. But I talk to them, and they do an incredible job of managing their COVID patients with their elective surgeries. They work within their environment in their region and their system. And so they make adjustments. But, I've anecdotally, they're getting to the point that they might have to tell a surgeon, can you delay this surgery because we're utilizing the ICU capacity for COVID patients now. That's one of the ways that they make adjustments. But they are managing it, but the longer you look down the road, it can get more challenging, and we want to be prepared for that. Dr. Jones, could you elaborate?
Thank you, Governor. So yes, in conversations with hospital CEOs all over the state, they do assure me that they are able to manage their caseload as it's going now. Again, it's a mix of taking care of COVID patients and regular patients who had perhaps initially delayed care and are coming back to the hospital sicker. So our hospitals are more full, but hospitals are, you know, trained and they do this all the time. So they're able to move things around do different staffing ratios and things like that to make sure that everybody that walks through the door gets taken care of. But again, I want to emphasize what has been said earlier. This is what's happening right now. This is not a process that we want to sustain. So I want to, again, emphasize the public health measures, make sure everyone is wearing their mask, maintaining social distancing, washing their hands, limiting their gatherings, because all of these things are going to help us decrease the amount of disease in the community, and that's going to in turn decrease the numbers that are ending up in the hospital. It's turned into a marathon and not a sprint, and I think a lot of our mind shift has to change to that. We've been going through this for several months, but we need to, you know, steadfast and hold on and make sure we're continuing to practice those public health guidelines.
And I believe that was Dr. Geralyn Jones with the Department of Health Preparedness Medical Director.
The Department of Health is going to continue to be in the lead in this fight with the pandemic. They recommended doing a shutdown last month. You chose not to. Is there going to be...
That's not correct. That is not correct.
Go ahead and correct me then. I asked for a number of options,
and they presented options. That does not mean recommendations. Dr. Romero, please.
Health Secretary Jose Romero coming back to the podium.
That there was a recommendation to do a shutdown. Was there not a recommendation?
No, it's been mischaracterized. And so I think I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We were tasked with providing the governor a series of options. Among those options were those that you're talking about. But it was not a recommendation. So, and there were many other options in that list that for the governor to consider. So again, I want to make sure that everybody understands this going forward. The health department provides options to the governor. And we discuss those options, and he makes a decision based on the situations at hand. This task force will further provide him with information to make decisions as we go forward.
So could we foresee the task force having one of these recommendations shutdown? Would that be something you could see?
I would certainly hope not. And there's a lot of difference. First of all, we didn't shut down in March and April, and I'm opposed to a shutdown. I don't want to see that happen. You can never predict exactly what the future is going to be like, and you can't rule out anything, but that's not the direction we're going. We want to keep our economy open, and if people do what they need to do, you don't need to shut it down. Now, going back to the question, because I think it is important, and there has been some misunderstanding of that, I routinely will ask my lead agency, the Department of Health, Dr. Romero, can you have your physician advisory group look at what else can be done? Just be creative. What options are out there? Because we have a consistent path, and so I get a lot of different options that are out there. Some can be a very minority of that. Some can be a larger group that proposes that. But we don't want to shut down, and I don't expect that to be the result of this task force. But I do want to give them the latitude give me options and to discuss anything that they see needs to be done. All right, we got one back here.
With that 1.6 marketing budget campaign that you guys are going to be doing throughout the various medias, is there anything that you can do different than what you've been doing to convince those people that just absolutely won't accept the reality of the situation?
What can we do to actually get them to do what they need to do?
Well, it's hard to imagine anyone not being knowledgeable about the scientific basis for face coverings. But sometimes advertising can hit different ways, different messages that appeal to them. So I know our ad team is going to be very creative in it. Part of it will be a strictly Department of Health message. The others will be, if you want to keep the economy open, you've got to be able to wear a mask and prevent the spread of the virus. So I hope that they'll have different messages that will appeal to different parts of our population and hopefully penetrate that. Yes, Leslie.
I've been told that.
And this is 89.1 KUAR. We're listening live to Governor Asa Hutchinson taking reporter questions during a press conference at the state capitol.
If you have to quarantine again, you will not be paid. You get one period where you are allowed off with pay. Is that something this task force could address? Is that something you know about?
I don't know the answer to that question. And in terms of this task force, I want them to concentrate first on the hospital environment and our cases. I think that would be outside of their general responsibility or the assignment that they've been given.
Then would somebody else be looking into policies like that, or do you feel like you can't interfere in private business policies?
Well, I mean, the federal government in the one of the original acts did set some guidelines for the private sector in terms of payment and quarantines. And so I assume the businesses follow that. The state has not set any specific ones for the general general businesses that are out there. That can always be a point of discussion, but I would have to look into it further. Let's go. Is there any question remotely that people are there?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Had a few questions for you. First of all, I apologize if I missed this. In terms of the timeline, is there a set date that you want to get recommendations from this task force? And had a couple questions for you regarding your comments yesterday on that Facebook Live. When you were asked about an economic pause, you had made a reference to the state facing potential for very, very difficult decisions if there's not hospital space. What decisions are on the table, or what decisions are you willing to look at? And if it reaches that point where there's not hospital space, is that too late to make that decision?
Well, that's what this task force will be charged with looking at. You know, what is our timelines? What is our limits for taking additional steps if need be? So I think that whole arena of and holistic view will be accomplished by this task force. In terms of how this is going to work, this is a fast-moving pandemic, and we've got to move fast. That's why we're meeting at 8 a.m. on Monday. They may, in that conversation, come out with some ideas that we implement immediately. Now, we're not going to wait for a written report. We're going to take action as needed. Much of it will need to be developed further. There's going to have to be more study done in this. But we're going to be taking action periodically as needed as a result of where we are in the pandemic and the work of this task force. Next question.
Governor, good afternoon. It's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. Two questions, please. With regard to the third point that you want to accomplish, increased compliance with your mask mandate, is it possible you might have to add someone from law enforcement onto your task force for that? And the second is, if I have the numbers right, about 400 additional students in K through 12 tested positive this week between Monday and the report yesterday. I know Secretary Key said on Tuesday there's nothing to what was a rumor about going to virtual education after Thanksgiving and before Christmas. If those numbers keep coming up, would that have to be reconsidered?
There's no plan to change our commitment to school and to the option of going all virtual. You know, if you look at what the medical community, the scientific community talk about is the importance of that option of in-classroom instruction for so many different students. It is important that we have the virtual option and that we have the ability to pivot. And so that's what you're seeing. Whenever it's challenging in a particular school, they pivot to online instruction. I expect that pattern to continue, but we want to be able to maintain that commitment to the option of in-classroom instruction as well, and not simply go all virtual. I don't think that's the right thing for our kids, and we'll work through that, and we'll continue to monitor it and see if any adjustments have to be made at any time, but that's not any plan.
You asked about law enforcement.
I think that's I want to give that some more thought, but there is a reason that we left options to put more people on there. It might be helpful for law enforcement to understand deeply what this means to our medical community. I think they do, and we got some real leaders in the law enforcement community, but to the mask mandate, there is a penalty in there, and there is the ability for enforcement. But there is a hesitancy of doing that, understandably so. We've encouraged our law enforcement, encouraged our municipal officials to be more forward-leaning on education, on reminders, and part of that is, following the steps that's outlined in the executive order if needed. Any other question?
Governor, this is Crystal Martinez with KWA News. I just wanted to ask, we've been hearing from a lot of city leaders that they are just having a hard time pushing out people wearing masks, social distancing. Is there anything else that they can do at a city level to better enforce these guidelines if it needs to be issuing these citations? And a memo I was asked to relay, I know the mayor of Decatur has been trying to get in touch with ADH, asking for some help with handling the pandemic in that city. How can leaders get in touch with you or the ADH? Because I know he said he hasn't been able to hear back from anyone just yet.
You're talking about how the municipal leaders get in touch with us?
Correct, yes.
For a municipal leader, I would suggest that they can call Dr. Romero or any of his team directly, or my office. Doug Smith can help coordinate that, but also the Municipal League itself has done a great job of coordinating, and so the Municipal League can be helpful to the municipal leaders in giving them guidance, coordinating with our office. So the Municipal League has really been a key partner in this. I think that answered your question. Was there another part to it?
Yeah, just the first half on what else cities can do and municipal leaders to push these guidelines being enforced. I just know that educating hasn't quite worked with some people within the community, and we're just seeing a rise in cases in like Siloam Springs where they've been having this issue.
Well, again, I would encourage them to coordinate the Municipal League. They have talking points. They have information that can be provided, guidance as to how local officials can handle that. Our Department of Health can help as well. And what I've started to say, part of the leadership comes from businesses in terms of the compliance. And I spoke with Representative Walmart today, and I was pleased to see that they issued a directive in which they're going to reinforce their distancing within the stores again, and have more specific guidance on that. So these are positive steps that businesses take, and we need more of them to step out and say we're gonna really push the compliance with the public health guidelines within their own business. Next question.
Hey, Governor, this is Brett Broders at Local 24 News in Memphis. If you or someone from the task force could update about the Northeast Arkansas hospital situation and some trends that we're seeing in that region of the state.
Dr. Jones, you want to tackle that?
Dr. Geraldine Jones, coming back to the podium.
Again, in conversations with folks in Northeast, they are handling the caseload as they're able to. So they're able to manage what's going on. They have Northeast in terms of coordination for disasters and other things. They are definitely a model to follow, and they routinely work together as the larger hospitals and some of the smaller facilities and the LTACs and things like that. And so they have implemented plans that they had laid out long time ago and are working their plan. So they're able to manage their caseload.
We've been listening live to a press conference at the state capitol that continues at this time, but we're going to rejoin normal programming. But again, Governor Asa Hutchinson today signed an executive order creating the governor's COVID-19 winter task force. This comes as Arkansas today set a record for the number of people testing positive for the coronavirus, 2,312 were tested positive. Those were confirmed and probable cases. And the governor also detailed what this task force will be doing and who will be involved in it. Most members will be hospital executives from around the state. And as the governor said, hospitals are strained at this point, and the fear is it will get worse. But this task force will consider the best ways to approach this and figure out exactly how the state should move forward. That first meeting for the task force is Monday morning at 8 a.m. I'm Michael Hiblin, KUAR News.